Amen. Good morning, everybody. Beautiful day. I said we're looking at it today and we need to know more about it and we have. If you're a Christian, you have the opportunity of being saved. Amen. I said an opportunity. I can remember when the Lord talked to my heart, and I can remember just like yesterday. And in my mind, I can sit and look, and I can see all the way back. I can see a little country church that is no longer there. It has been tore down. But the time that it was there, souls were saved, brought into the kingdom of God. And therefore, at that particular time, you will start the march of Jesus Christ, when I say of Jesus Christ, of following Him. Amen. Bible's in the air. This is what we have, the Word of God. Amen. I believe what this Bible says. I believe it from the front cover clear to the back cover. Somebody said, "Preacher, you really believe the Bible literally? Well, how else would you believe it?" Somebody come up with things like that and say, "How can you do it?" I'll tell you very simple. You follow the Lord. This morning, I'd like you to look with me at a few verses. And we're not going to be dealing in this particular 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that much this morning. But we will deal with verse 13 out of chapter 16. It's something that you need to do and something you need to follow and to know. Amen. You got it? 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like man, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Now, people come along and they have changed the word charity to love, but when I look at the Bible, and I read a King James Bible, and I don't mind, I'm not of it. It was the Bible that was preached in the church that I went to with my wife, and I was a sinner. I was a sinner, and I heard the gospel preached there. But I like you to look at the word here, watch. Watch is a very important thing. I have heard sermons preach on watch, and they talk about this, they talk about that. And when they got all done, I realized, what are they talking about? So when you're looking at and you're dealing with the Word of God, I said you're dealing with the Word of God, it is God talking to you. If you want to know what's in this book, you're going to have to pick it up every day. You should go to the Lord and pray. You should put the book someplace where you can be alone with you and God. Then I'm going to say it. On the table back behind me, there is a prayer shawl. They call it a prayer shawl. But it was only made when the Israelites went back to Israel. And the reason it was made, because it was to be sold to Christians, but it never was mentioned in the Old Testament. And Jesus, my friend, did not wear a prayer shawl. But He is the written Word. And now we will turn to the book of Matthew. And I want you to look at the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. While you're turning and you're trying to find your verse, the 26th chapter, I want you to look at verse 36. We look at verse 36, it's very important. Oh, I forgot something. This is Palm Sunday. Everybody wave the palm. We talk about it in churches talk about it a lot. But when I look at it, I think, why are we waving palms? I read in the Bible there were people that when Jesus was riding on a donkey going into town, they were waving, they were cutting limbs off of trees. But they didn't celebrate Jesus. They didn't celebrate. They did not understand what was going on. So when we're in verse chapter 26, then came Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto them, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Now, when I was thinking about this, and I have thought about it quite often, that Jesus has took his disciples with him. One, Jesus had fellowship with his disciples. We as Christians in church should have the same love, the same fellowship that we want to associate with people of like faith. Not people that believe something different, but people of like faith. Jesus took these disciples with him, and he said he was going to go pray just over there. When you stop and you think about just over there, and the disciples are sitting, and he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful. Now, he's got 11 disciples with him. They're sitting here, and he takes the three inner circle with him, and he moves them separate from the others because he wants them to watch what he's doing. They want strength. He wants fellowship. He wants somebody that wants to know more and more about it. So you have the three. That is Peter, John, and James. Now, when we look at it and we're studying it, the Bible said they was the sons of Zebedee. And verse 38 said, then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. At this moment, there is a weight that is descending upon the Lord. And his soul, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, that Jesus stooped in the dust of the ground and he formed man out of the dust. And the Bible said he breathed into the man and he became a living soul. So we are a living soul. We're created by the Creator. And now, when Jesus was born, he partook of things like us, except the sinful nature he had, because he was virgin born, that he has a soul. Everybody has a soul. And the soul is very important, is what we communicate with God. The Spirit of God communicates with our soul. Some people say our soul is our mind. Some people say it's our heart. My friend, all I know is this. The Bible said that we have a soul. And so when I look at it here, the Bible said he was exceedingly sorry. My soul. My soul. He's looking just a matter of days. And he's going to pay the price for your sin. Your sin. And if you're watching, for your sin. Most people say, I haven't done nothing, so I go to hell. Well, you don't have to. Just refuse Jesus. But Jesus is feeling the pressure. So tarry ye here and watch with me. Three people. He's wanting three people to come. Actually, if I was saying it, tarry here with me, watch. Otherwise, pray with me. Enter prayer with me. You know, a lot of times when we hold service and when I was a Baptist, we'd go in the back room, the men, and we'd stand around and pray. And I would stand there and listen to them pray, and I was thinking, this one was trying to outpray this one, and this one outpray that one. So it is strength. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I am. Now, somebody said that's something else. Well, that's where two or three are gathered. Also, the Spirit of God should come and dwell among us, and we should listen and be assistant to what Jesus is about to do. His soul is very heavy. And watch. Remember we read in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, watch, pray, and fast. So us Christians today, we have an example. By the Lord, we should be watching and we should be praying. We can look just a distance over there and we can see Jesus. He's down on his knees. He's praying. And we should be praying too about helping him. Oh, Lord, whatever they're going to be, you know, but bless Jesus. But while he's praying, and he went a little further. So he drifted a little further away from them. Sometime when you look at, and they're not getting very much corporation out of Peter, James, and John, they're busy doing something else. He fell on his face. He's not on his knees no more. He fell prostrate on the ground. That is a sign of complete humiliation and praying, I dedicate everything to you. I need help. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The sins of the world he can look at. I heard a preacher once preach a gospel, and he was preaching, talking about a cup. And he had a cup, and he's standing there. And I thought about bringing a cup. Hallelujah. I really did. I thought about bringing a cup. I thought it would be nice, you know, illustrated. And he said, and in this cup, crawled in with a divorce, robbery, murder, everything else. The conflict is in the soul. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is not. He realized that he has a body, he has a soul, and it is heavy because he knows what he's looking toward. He has walked with those disciples many a time going into Jerusalem, come out, and he could see where the Roman soldiers would be crucifying people on top of a hill. Hello? And it wasn't a pretty sight. Everybody could see it. Now, Jesus knew what it was, but he asked, and he prayed the Father. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this, what I am facing, the cup is not necessary. Like that one preacher I heard, how homosexual, lesbian, bank robbers, liars, people like that. Just people are good people. Bible said all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. He could see the cross in the center up there. He could see the agony that goes with it. And he asked the Father, if it be possible. Let this cup pass from me. And then the Spirit says, and what he did, nevertheless, not as I will. Now, there is a will and a time. His flesh is crying out, I don't want to die. I don't want to face that. So what happened? You have to submit to the will of God and look at it and say, this is the purpose that I was born for. I am now in the process of fulfilling my destiny. Somebody look and say, well. And he came unto the disciples and found them sleeping, and said unto Peter, he's talking to Peter. Well, how well is Peter listening to the prayer going on? How well is he listening to John? How well is he listening to James? But Peter is the spokesman. He's the one that's supposed to be setting the example. Pastors are supposed to set the example for the flock. And he was asleep. Physically asleep. People today are also spiritually asleep, not knowing. What? Could you not watch? Now, this always affected me when I read it, because he asked the disciples, could you not watch? What do you think I separated you from the other disciples and brought you here to watch, to give me comfort, to give me strength? And he could turn and look at them and say, I'm dying for the sins of those three men. And the other disciples are further away. And they can't watch? Can't watch? And pray? So what is the cast of watching? And praying. They should have been praying. As I said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is not. And they said, while he's doing, I heard a preacher would talk about it and said something. Watch and pray. Now, he's talking to Peter. Now, if you're a Christian and you're watching what's being done, I said you're watching what's being done and you're wanting to fill out how to do it, how to handle it, and why you should handle it. And you should want to handle it very carefully. And know, I believe in the mission that you're talking about, and I'm going to go to prayer meeting. How many times can you have prayer meeting in your church just before service starts, about 30 minutes before, and you're going to have a group of men and you want people in the church to pray? Why? Because you want them to pray because you want a move of God in the church. You can have all the singing in the world, but you need the Spirit of God to touch the singers, touch the elders in the church, touch the congregation, that they can feel the vibration of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. I said through the power of the Holy Ghost. You said in a service like that, and a church is a prayer. D.L. Moody, people say, well, who in the world? He had a praying group. Amen. People that would meet and pray. Spurgeon in England had a church of 3,000 way back. Because you want to know what the power of the church is? He walked downstairs with a newspaper people, and they looked and they into a room, roughly about 700 people, and they're all on their knees. They're praying. They're praying for the situation. I said they're praying for the situation. They're praying for people that are in their family. They need to be saved. They're praying for people in the congregation. They need to be healed. And being healed, they need somebody to stand in the gap. Remember, the Bible said in the old, God looked for a man to stand in the gap. Are you the man? Are you the woman? Are you the one to say, I will stand? Why is it important for you to pray? Why is it important for you to watch? Because now you have come, and like everything is glorious to you, that Peter says, your adversary, the devil. Oh, yeah. You thought you left him out there. I want to tell you, if you're not praying and you're not watching, he's going to come to church with you. That's why you need a praying, Holy Ghost-filled church. So the devil. And Peter said, the adversary, he comes to seek and to kill. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. He's talking to these men. He went away again the second time. Now, what did he tell Peter? You watch. Now, Jack goes to James and John also. You watch. The second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Have you ever thought, what would have happened if Jesus got up off the ground, prostrate on his face, and said, I'm not going to do it? You ever thought about it? What happened if he had got up and walked off? Peter would have been in their sin. The other disciples have been in their sin. And people today would be in their sin because there would be no payment for sin. For all have sinned and come to short of the glory of God. Jesus had a parable that tells you, say, people, the cross. The Bible said you're weighed in the balances. Somebody's going to have the balance, the scale, because the way it is, your scale is touching the ground. You come short of the glory of God. But when Jesus stands on that there hill, Golgotha, Gethsemane, on that hill, Golgotha, the hill where he's going to die, but he took and sat on the other side of the scale and it went down. He made a decision, not your will. Thy will be done. And he came and found them sleeping again. Their eyes were heavy. Jesus prayed all night, a lot of time on a mountain by himself. But now the disciples had been invited to come with him because he's facing a real horrible, horrible situation and he wants strength. All they can do is that watch. No. What did he tell Peter? he found them sleeping again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and said unto them, sleep on, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. I didn't finish reading verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So how would we handle it? The main person, he told Peter, you need to pray. Peter is the one that should have really been praying. Remember Jesus walking and talking about dying, and Peter said, that never happened. No. I'll go to death. I'll die with you, on and on. The devil wanted to sift Peter. And Peter still don't realize he's being sifted. But apparently he's not praying either. And the tempter is weighing heavy upon him. And so when I looked at this and I was thinking about temptation. Preacher, have you ever been tempted? Oh, yeah. You can get tempted just watching television. You can get tempted going there. You can get tempted just going on your job and things going on around. You can be, you know, some people approach you and you want to have sex or what? And I usually looked and I would say this, I have a beautiful wife. The answer is no. Nobody would know. I would say, I would know. God would know. The Holy Spirit would know because He's talking to you. He's telling you, walk around, walk away. So have you been tempted? Have you been praying? Have you been watching? Prayer is the thing that will move mountains. Jesus said, if you have the faith and you pray and your prayer believe, you can move a mountain. But most people don't pray. Most people don't want a mountain move. Well, how important is temptation? Temptation will tempt everybody around, mostly once you're in church. I have seen people that told me, oh, I have no problem, preacher. I'm faithful. You know what? And they don't come to church. They're not watching. They're being tempted. What are they doing? They're doing other things. They find other things more important than coming to the house of God and listen to the Word of God, listen to the Holy Ghost talk to them that they can understand. Temptation, it always comes very subtly. It can come watching a commercial on television. Can you see yourself in a pickup like that? Well, I'll tell you what. If I bought the pickup, I can't tie it because it's going to cost a lot of money to pay for that thing. So, which is important, the pickup or God? 90% of the people say the pickup. going to see a sports. So you can be tempted. But temptation, you don't need to know. In Genesis chapter 3, there is a man and there is a woman that God has created. They didn't evolve from a little sperm. They didn't do this. Evolution's wrong. But He told Adam, there's a tree of good and evil over there. The day you eat of it, you will die. So then He made Eve. He brought Eve to Adam. And I want to tell you, when Adam looked at Eve, he went, wow. That don't look like a horse. That doesn't look like a mule. That doesn't look like cows. That doesn't look like... She's beautiful. But then you find the story in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You notice how clever he is. He didn't point at the tree of good and evil. Oh, they'll never do that. Take one drink, it's not going to hurt you. Don't pay any attention to what they say. And the question, the things he asked her, you can't eat no fruit in this here garden? That's very subtle, you know it. I always wonder, why was she standing in that particular place in the midst of the garden? If you probably just sort of cast your eyes a little further, maybe to the right, there was another tree. And it was called the Tree of Life. Now, what did that tell me? That Adam and Eve did not have eternal life. You hear me? They did not have eternal life. So she said, yea, not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, I'll tell you, what time I see a snake on the ground, I got a shovel, I'll cut his head off. I said, I'll cut his head off. I've cut a lot of snake heads off. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She said, you're wrong. You're wrong, serpent. I got to clarify. You ever hear that? I got to clarify the question. That you're wrong. My friend, he's not wrong. The devil's not wrong. He's walking about us a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Adam someplace else. And he sat back and said, I got her. She's nibbling on the fruit. She's nibbling on the tree. She's nibbling on my question that I said, you can't eat no fruit of any trees in this garden? Then she says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The Bible doesn't say anything about touching. Eve now is making her own Bible. And this Bible is going to take them someplace she don't want to go. Knowing good and evil. And the woman, now, eye gate, the woman looked at that tree and said, you know, excuse me, I'm coughing. She looked at that tree and saw it was pleasant to the eye. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. That don't necessarily mean that he was standing right at that point. Somebody said, in your house, you know, that happened in your house. And you know, I was there. She took the fruit. My opinion. And my opinion on the subject is good as your opinion. She might have walked a couple of feet away more and found Adam and said, hey, look at the beautiful fruit I have in my hand. Say, oh, yeah. And she gave it to him. And he ate it. A willful at the act. I'm sure he knew what the tree was. But, you know, he took it. And I want you to notice something here. When Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, she did not have knowledge of good and evil. You understand what I'm saying? She did not have any knowledge of good and evil. Because the devil knew something that Eve didn't know. He knew the command never was given to Eve. It was given to her husband. He knows he can't confront Adam because Adam would drive him out. So he had to look. The Bible said the woman is the weaker part of man, but he looked at, there is a weak link in this chain, and it's Eve. I'll work on her. The Bible doesn't say how long they was in the garden. And Adam probably stopped and looked and said, she didn't die, whatever death is. And he took it and ate. And then what happened? They both knew they were naked. They both knew they were separated from God. They both knew what good and evil was. Have you ever thought about what would have happened if they would have turned at the instant? Turned and went to the tree of life and ate. The Bible said, God said to it, he said, oh, they have become like us, knowing good and evil. But they didn't. They had guilt. Now, what do you do when you have a man and you have a woman that has just broke your word? Do you run them out of the garden and kill them? Or do you make a plan to rescue them out of that situation? How do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says, and give him a lot of things in judgment, that he killed an innocent animal, shedding of blood. He covered their sins temporarily with the coats of the animal that he sacrificed, pointing to a hill called Golgotha, over 2,000 and some years, that his son is going to die on a hill to pay for their transgression. I hear preachers say they probably never made it to heaven. Well, they taught their kids on account of one kid don't want to do right. Doesn't change the situation. Adam and Eve did. They taught both of their kids what they needed to do. So my point is this. If Eve would have been praying, if Eve would have been listening, she would have told the devil, "Wait a minute, I got to go get my husband. He'll solve this whole thing." But she didn't. And that's why death, when you drive down the road and you see a cemetery, hello? I said, when you see a cemetery, you know death reigns rampant today. But on a cross, that cross I call is the tree of life. Jesus is dying on it, paying the price. He told Peter, "Couldn't you pray 1 hour with me?" How much time do you spend with God? Or do the devil come along as a roaring lion and tell you it's not important? I once went on a fast, 5-day fast. I fasted. And the last night of the fast, that morning, or the second to the last morning, I went to get a drink of water, and I walked in there in the ice box. Opened, stood there looking at the food. And this is no lie. A voice said, "Go ahead and eat it." Nobody would know. I remember I turned around and looked. I said, "I would." And I closed the door. Walked through the living room, into the bedroom. Sat on the end of the bed, lay down. And my wife, she said, "Bill, did you eat?" I said, "No, I didn't." But see, she was listening to what was going on. She knew the icebox was open and closed. You pray a lot when you're fasting. And believe me, when you're fasting, don't worry about it. The devil will be there. So I'm going to ask you the question today. Do you know Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? That is something you need to know, Jesus to be your Savior. Let us bow our head this morning. People, you want to accept Jesus, the elders are here. You can come down and pray, and the elders of the church will anoint you with oil and pray with you that you can be saved.